friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. I wanted
the fame, but not the cover of news. ClevelandBrowns.com is your most trusted source for Browns news, plus the latest photos and videos straight from the source. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com for everything Browns. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. All right. We are going to do what we usually do on Tuesdays, and it is after further review time. Our producer, Jason Gibbs, takes it over from here. Hey, Jason.
After further review.
Happy Tuesday, guys. A little warm outside.
Yeah.
You know, question number one, what is your one takeaway from minicamp last week?
Gosh, my one takeaway is this. I think the precision of the practices surprised me somewhat. New coaching staff, new systems, new schemes, and lots of new players at different spots. I did not think it would sync up generally as well as it did, and for the most part it did, and I asked a lot of the coaches in the aftermath how much correction needed to be done. Very little on field. There was some. No, you know, the rule of thumb is that the 11-on-11 drills are not going to be stopped for corrections because you just don't have enough time, and you do that in meeting rooms. But I'm told that it wasn't as heavy. There were certain areas where rookies were rookies in their understanding of plays and such. But overall, that's what I would say the crispness generally on a day-to-day basis jumped out at me.
What jumped out to me is just how good and how deep I believe this defense is. I think that the defensive line, you know, we didn't see really from various parts of camp. Dez Bryant was not in there. Ataba Rubin was not in there. And yet you had guys like Billy Wynn. You had John Hughes. Cam Henderson was stepping up. Our guy Calvin Barnett was stepping up there. At the linebacking core on the outside, Sheard, Kruger, Mingo all looked good, had made significant strides. A guy like Eric Martin started to show flashes as well, number 52. On the inside, a position that was such a question mark last year. You have Dansby. We've seen good things from Craig Robertson. He has looked much better, but been put in positions to succeed, and is impressing these coaches. We've seen Darius Eubanks look like an unbelievable nickelbacker. Chris Kirksey has gotten better every single day. We talked about the DBs earlier. This is a very good, very deep defense, and I think when ultimately Ray Farmer has to cut this roster down to 53, the toughest decisions and the ones that he will agonize the most will all be coming on the defensive side of the ball.
And especially, I think, on the front seven for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, the competitiveness, and maybe this speaks to both our points. You're talking competitiveness there in the quality of defense and how people rose to the occasion. I think that affected the crispness and quality of practices because you don't see too many guys clanging in the orchestra, so to speak. Everybody kind of fit like Craig Robertson. You don't want to stand out because you stink. You're showing that you are with the flow, and everybody ups the game for you, like you said, Kirksey and so on and so forth. I mean, there are other players on this team that Craig Robertson, who wants to compete and keep a starting job, I think it raises that competitive level, and happen on the offensive side with Ben Tate, for sure, with Terrence West looking as good as he does.
For sure, no question.
After further review.
Question number two today, guys. Your two starting defensive backs on September 7th are?
I think we gave this the corners, I guess, is what you're talking about.
Correct.
Yeah, so we went with Joe Hayden and Buster Skrine.
Yeah, and I think ultimately when you look at the fact they're going to be playing the Steelers, they're likely to open in nickel anyway. So I think you're going to see Gilbert, Skrine, and Hayden on the field the majority of the time anyway. Right. But as of today, if it was only going to be two that I had to say, I would say Skrine and Hayden. There is, if you were going to say what's one of the battles that I think is kind of a 50-50 for actually week one, I think Skrine, Gilbert on that outside could be one of those. But again, I think they're going to maybe open in nickel and all three will be on the field anyway.
After further review.
Question number three today, guys. So much being made of Terrence West. Ben Tate going back and forth and looking forward to the competition and training camp. Who's the number three running back on this roster?
Yeah, that's the question that begs to be answered. I mean, it wouldn't be crazy to think that Isaiah Crowell could emerge, but I haven't seen enough. It's one flash and an injury, and that's pretty much been the end of the story for him, which leads me to wonder if he's ever going to have enough opportunity to get there. So he's going to come from the existing group, and I think by default it could be by default Deion Lewis. But that I think right now, I think that's the hardest question for this coaching staff to kind of figure out is where is this third guy? I think the hybrid use of Marquise Gray comes into play a little bit where he's somewhat of a fullback slash tight end, maybe helping involve himself with the numbers there. It's possible that that third back isn't on this team yet.
I'm going to say it is going to be Isaiah Crowell. I think he is absolutely going to be the guy when he gets an opportunity to show his stuff in training camp. I think, you know, Edwin Baker, Chris Obanaya, Deion Lewis, those guys are really going to be competing to try to be that last running back on this team. Or maybe they do bring in somebody from the outside, as you alluded to there, Vic. But I think right now you're going to see a Tate-West battle for the starting job. And then, and you could see both of them used a lot, by the way. I don't think it's going to be a situation where one wins and the other is not involved. And then you're going to see, I think Isaiah Crowell will show, you know, the form that made him one of the higher sought after undrafted free agents because of his off-field antics, but his on-field performance and pedigree is pretty strong.
It's just, and I know he's got something to overcome there on the off-field side, but I think the only question is just not being on the field to have the opportunity to do stuff thus far because of injury. Yeah,
sure.
After further review.
Question number four today, guys. 90 degrees, a little warm. Favorite summer vacation destination? Buy a ball game.
Summer. Oh, wow. For me, it's pretty easy because I'm going there again for the second year in a row. The Finger Lakes region of New York State, if anyone listening is familiar with that, and I assume some people are, sort of that it's just on the eastern edge of western New York, which is where I spent most of my time before I came here. And that is just amazing. So the lakes stretch out just like that, just like fingers. And we spend time on one of them called Canisius Lake. It's the smallest of the Finger Lakes. And get a little cottage there. It's just perfect. And you hit it at a time, and I'm going to be hitting it pretty soon here as we all kind of shut things down for vacation prior to training camp, get the batteries recharged. It's perfect. You just can vegetate. You just go out if you want to do a little kayaking, it's fantastic. Or canoeing, I should say. There's also kayaking, but I'm more canoeing.
Do you have fishing. Any Native American blood in Vic Carucci?
I don't think so.
All Italian?
It's all Italian.
All Italian? No, yeah. Native American? Well, canoeing is a nice Native.
We just catch the Italian fish.
I'm 1/32nd Chippewa.
Nice.
Little known fact there. So I enjoy canoeing. I enjoy moccasins.
No, well, yeah, I do too. I mean, I have complete respect.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just saying for the vacation.
There
and then there's a little the best part is the bonfire at night, just sitting around. And this lake, this is quiet stuff, man. This is not exciting like your lifestyle, you know, where you go out to all hours of the night and
yes,
party with all the big celebs from WWE. Yeah. This is very just quiet. Me and the chipmunks, you know, and the squirrels.
Unbelievable.
I think the birdies.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, for
communing with nature.
I just went with Alyssa and the kids. We went to a place called the Greenbrier in West Virginia, and it is a pretty unbelievable summer spot. Old school, kind of feel like you're in a time warp.
Nice.
Going back to like the 1950s or even earlier than that, a very old school kind of southern sleepy place, three phenomenal golf courses, great pools, great stuff for the kids. And so that's probably, we've had some really good trips there. But really, you know, my favorite place in the world to go is Scottsdale. I love Scottsdale in L.A., so, you know, I'd put them right there. But Scottsdale in July.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He said
not
summer,
as necessarily appealing.
Summer
yes.
destination. And but, yeah, anything with the family, and that's the beauty of this. This is kind of we get reacquainted because this job and this kind of lifestyle that we lead doing this stuff is daily year-round commitment in many ways. And just like the coaches and the players do, you shut down this time of year. You're going to be doing kind of the same thing on and off is you do it now, because then once training camp hits, it's over. Life as we know it is all this and nothing else.
That's right. Foosball.
After further review.
Final question today. This one more for Nathan Zagura, but would love to hear Vic Carucci as well on this. If you could be a WWE wrestler, what would your name be and what would your shtick be?
Oh, wow, this is a good one. This is a good one. Well, before I was doing this, I was known as the fantasy consultant. Well, first of all, I'd say my name would probably be my middle name, which I think has a good wrestling ring to it, which is Dragomir. So I feel like I could, you know, Dragomir. Maybe I could be like that guy Rusev you were seeing yesterday, like some type of Eastern European. But I think my shtick would be I would absolutely, you know, run my mouth. I think the Miz and I would end up being a pretty good, like, team together, just talking a lot of trash, running our mouths at probably at each other as much as at anybody else, but just flapping our gums, cheating to win, doing whatever I had to win, being somebody that you wanted to see be beaten up at all times and lose always, but somehow I sneak out with the victory in a dastardly way and leave you want, hoping that the next guy will actually get his hands on me. But he won't, and I'll take your women.
Whatever. that's awesome. Whatever, I'd pay to see that. Whatever I would be in this context, and it's going to be nothing. But whatever in this context,
I can see you like the genius sleeping Lanny Poffo.
There'd have to be some the mask involved.
You want a mask?
I like the gold. Who was
Gold Dust?
Gold Dust guy. That was kind of neat. I just think it connected on a certain level where you could the alter ego came out.
Uh huh. Sure.
And who's the other guy? The devil, the red, what was his name? He had like the red mask.
Kane. Kane's pretty, yeah.
It was Kane, and I like that mask.
With
and
the
I
fire. Like,
yeah,
and, yeah.
You know, those
got powers.
I think when you're in that realm, it's about being the alter ego. It's about being somebody other than Nathan Zagura, somebody other than me, certainly. And when you get into that, I can see how these guys transform themselves. Because you talk to Miz. Miz is a different dude when we're sitting here talking football.
Oh, yeah.
It's like kicking things around. But then he puts on his show
it's
face
him,
and his
right.
And then it's another thing. It takes over. Not like any other
the volume
performer.
Turned up the performer. 1 bazillion percent.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Him. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
And it's fun. It's fun to see it. And as I was kind of watching that last night, that's what was occurring to me. The Russian guy was impressive, but more impressive was his. What is she?
Lana.
What's her title?
She would be called his manager. She would be his manager.
So, she was managing the crowd, though, with the whole.
Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up.
Yes.
Shut up.
They did it. So there's a guy, Rusev. Gibbs, did you watch Raw last night?
Yeah, I watched it all night long, much to the chagrin of my girlfriend. Although I've got the two girls into it now. So
how great was when they had the Mount Rushmore of Russian legends and it had like I think it had Putin,
yeah,
it had Lenin, and then it had Gorbachev with his Gorbachev head, and then it had Rusev on there. That made me laugh out loud.
That was hysterical.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That was pretty creative.
Was the best act. That was the best.
Gibbs, who would you be?
That's a great question. Boy,
somebody really tall.
Yeah, it's got to do something with my height. It's got to be some kind of.
I think you're.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I didn't even think about
answering
this myself.
I can see you in the medieval garb too, man.
That's
like,
fine.
Like I'm, as an like when there was a time when the Big Show was Shonan the Barbarian.
Yeah, that's hey. I'll walk out of my loincloth.
Who was the Who was the tall that really really tall guy in the when they did the whole
battle royal.
There was the tallest of that whole group.
Is that the guy from Great Britain or from England? Is that
Wade Barrett?
No, he was he didn't have long hair. He was that guy had longer hair. Anyway,
no, he had short hair.
That's right.
Is
a beard? Beard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was Barrett in there?
Right. Yeah.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Yeah, he's got it right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Liked that
him.
Guy. Bad news, Barrett. You liked him. You'd like him to come and deliver bad news.
He was in a bad news
segment.
Yeah. He's more of a football fan in terms of.
Football
from England, yes. Right. Bad news.
Cool.
Nice. Well, any other thoughts from Raw last night there, Nathan Zagura?
You know, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good show. Obviously, we had a good time. You know, Fandango is out of the ring, one of the nicer guys you want to meet, as is Curtis Axel, who is the real-life son of Mr. Perfect. So I was trying to give those guys a little bit of cheer and a little bit of love. And, you know, when you know kind of the wrestling landscape, you kind of know who has a chance to actually win the matches they're in and who doesn't. So we had a good time getting a loud Let's Go Curtis Axel chant going for my buddy Joe Hennig, who is, again, the late Mr. Perfect. And it came through on TV, we were told by multiple people, which is good. So he's like, I only get cheered like that in Cleveland and in my hometown of Minneapolis. So it was fun. So he enjoyed it. And all the guys in the back got a big kick out of it as well. So it was, yeah, that's what I like to go. I like to go have a good time. You know, for those of you who have the WWE Network, you can pop on WrestleMania 25, 26, or 27, and you won't miss me. It won't take you long to spot me acting like a complete buffoon. So if you ever want to have a laugh.
There's been no adult beverages involved in
No,
in
of course
pre-game.
Not. No,
none are needed. Not with this guy.
There may have been about 30 or 40.
Okay, maybe 30
who knows?
Or 40. But you were
4 hours. What do you want
yeah,
from
it's
me?
A long, it's
Who's
a long
counting?
Night. But you paced yourself.
Right. Drinkers right. never count and counters never drink. I was Amen. Once told by my friend's dad, Big Lou. Words of wisdom from Big Lou.
216-578-0850 if you want to weigh in on anything. You want to talk about WWE. We're clearly all over the map in this offseason run. But maybe the DB situation or what you heard from Terrence West a little earlier in the show. Any topics on the table here that you want to talk about Browns related? We're also going to hear from Pierre Desir. We got some sound that we do want to get into and some sound bites. I think also from Buster Screen. So we want to share those with you as well. And tweet us at Browns_daily or at Nathan Zagura or at Vic Carucci. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.